last week, Sharon Booker, and she corralled me, I don't know, a couple months ago, about the pickle boys.
There are two issues, a packet of information. There's the mailbox issue that we need to discuss, the policy, and make sure we're all on the same page. And then, yes, on Harold's memo, pickleball, oh, Doug's memo, pickleball and the lights are up. No, that's a third issue. You brought up pickleball. There are two issues in here that we're good to discuss out there.
Well, I didn't know because I had went by and you sent an email too. I went by there the following week and I was at the cemetery and there were people out there on Sunday playing. And I really hear the pickleball playing in the cemetery. I was at the cemetery on the road. I, you know, shut my truck off, rolled the windows down, and couldn't hear anything. So
I went a quarter of a mile past the cemetery, but my thing was the wind was actually blowing south to north.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if it was blowing.
And mine, the day I was there was straight west,
but it was directly going north, which would make
whatever day it was. Doug and I were in the parking lot at the very back of the new building where the gate is, and you'd hear a pop once in a while. Wow, a lot of them you couldn't even hear them. So I understand how they're being disturbed by it. Way down the road.
Right, Mrs. Wire. 0.33
miles,
Mrs.
according to Aries.
Mrs. Wire has mentioned it as well.
Yes.
Right? And I think there's quite an advantage to living next to a park, right? That beautiful open space that you have complete access to. So, but again, you don't want to have a nuisance in your park. So I absolutely want to talk about it. I think the light issue that comes up is the important issue. I can't stop the days, right? But it doesn't have to be at 10 p.m. at night.
Yeah, but they're saying it's all day long.
That's because we have pickleball courts, right? I can't stop that. But at 11 p.m., that's annoying that they're still in the parking lot. They're still...
Yeah, well, I think we maybe change our sign. Doug, you know, our parks is till dark. I mean, if we say pickleball till 10, maybe an addendum to the sign or...
Is it already till 10?
It is till 10.
Oh, it's already till 10.
And then they stand out there and talk according to the email.
Yeah. Which I haven't done that. I mean, it's...
I think 10 is extremely late. I don't want to hear pickleball at 10 o'clock at night either. That's bedtime, guy.
And... Doug,
it's 6:30 in the morning, trying to enjoy my quiet time.
Right. Then. What's the noise resolution say? I thought it said 7.
I mean, the garbage. 6:30. My neighborhood is 7:05. They're going down my street. The garbage truck.
Yes. Yeah. So what's the noise resolution say? It should mimic that for sure.
But it's not noise.
Mm-mm. Light brings the noise.
Well, would arborvitaes in the back of the cemetery mitigate some of that, you think?
No,
I'm not worried. The lights, I mean, it's light till 10 o'clock in the summertime.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer.
Maybe in 20
years. Yeah, it's going to take some good time. So I went to Veterans Memorial Park, Pennsylvania. They have sound deadening in lieu of windscreens. They do have windscreens as well, but they have these essentially rubber mats. Mm-hmm. They come in 4 foot by 10 foot lengths.
On the court?
They hang on the fence.
On the fence.
Yeah. Oh.
I sent Harold a link to it so he can take a look at it.
So you're assuming Sylvania's gotten these complaints from neighbors?
Pickleball courts have these.
But isn't Sylvania more like right in the middle of a residential
It's right next door.
They're right next door to houses right over them.
But you're looking at $9,000 just to do two sides. To do the Monclova side. And then the south side, which would be parallel to Keener, or perpendicular to Keener, it's $9,000 just to get those rubber mats. And arborvitaes are anywhere between $20 and $50 a piece. So, like, it's one of them things, like, is it a noise during the day? Is it noise during the night?
Or is it which way the wind's blowing?
And if it's noise during the night, then we can fix that with lights. And then, whatever. That's my thoughts. Just turn the lights back. Their courts are 8 to 8.
8 to 8.
And
I'm sure. Reasonable.
9 to 9. 9:30. 10 is just so late.
So I don't know what the solution is. I'm just, there's the information.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been 10 over here.
Forever
and ever. And there's residential houses.
Is Carolina way anybody
closer,
complain?
Way closer.
They play pickleball here, too. And no one,
batting cages and
yeah, and the batting cage is way louder. Ting! I mean that
yeah.
thing
yeah.
is way louder. So it's just one of those things. You can't make a resident happy. I mean, there's no 100-0 issues. You do what you can to help them, but it doesn't putting window dressing on doesn't do anything. Putting some arborvitaes a mile away isn't going to do anything.
Oh, might improve the look of the cemetery is what I was thinking.
That'd be a different
right. I was thinking this could help two birds with one stone.
That's a different reason for doing something. But
yeah, but I'm just saying the cost of how big are the arborvitaes? 3-4 feet. So it's kind of
Costco's going to have some about like 50.
Yeah, real nice. They grow fast.
30
yeah.
bucks.
I planted those Costco ones.
$30, yeah.
They do grow fast.
They do.
Yeah, but you're talking
like here, arborvitae. This hedge right here.
Yep.
But it would have to improve the cemetery for me to do that.
If you want to talk about the cemetery thing, you go into the columbarium thing, right?
Yeah.
That would make sense then, because now your backdrop isn't a soccer field.
It's the columbarium. Oh, that's where you would put them. I thought you were putting them at the street. Oh, that might look very nice.
The back side, on the soccer field side of the fence is where I would put them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that idea.
And then that gives you
some privacy. What if you were out there feeling bad?
Right, and there's a bunch of kids running around.
For a funeral on a Saturday.
Right,
baseball
right. Hey, if I wanted to see the kids to make myself better, I could.
Well,
but I have a little privacy. I love that idea, Doug.
Yeah, but, I mean, what about privacy fence? I don't think it's going to help the noise, though, but
is a privacy fence going to help?
On the back, it won't help the noise, probably.
No, but now you got a fence and a fence. So you're looking at a brick columns with of black aluminum rails, and then you have a privacy fence. Might look like HOAs when they do fencing. It's all the same.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so I think our fencing.
So you're saying the black fence? I did too.
I like
the wrought iron fair fence.
I think if you were going to do plantings and you did it, continue the row that's there now, then head south.
So we have arborvitaes on the building side.
Yeah, they're not arborvitaes. We have a couple blue spruces.
Here's the map right there behind you. So on the west side of the orange would be
right here.
No, the west side.
Oh, you want it here.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a great idea. Well, what is this?
Those are trees.
Okay.
Evergreen trees.
Okay.
And they're big. So you can't, it hides the maintenance building.
Right.
And we have a privacy fence on that side.
Mm-hmm.
But you really don't see it because of those big trees. And we let them kind of touch each other to make a key, if you will, right? So
you don't butcher them all that?
No, I hack them. It's a different term.
Yeah. So, I mean, the arborvitaes would do twofold. They would, A, be aesthetic, privacy, and then they may provide some relief for the noise.
Yeah, I would say that's our first solution.
Yeah.
And I'm no promises.
It's a step that may help the noise of the park, but it definitely will improve the cemetery.
Mm-hmm. So, I'll bring the next for arborvitae, I guess. I just have to watch where that drain is because we added, when we expanded, there's a tile that runs. Do you know where the field is? It's flag football. It runs from there to the drainage pond, and I'm not quite sure where it's at, so I have to look at where that's at in relation to where we can plant trees.
Right, maybe it doesn't have to be a solid row. Maybe there's a creative way to do threes and then.
Right. Or stagger on a zigzag pattern.
Right.
Enough so you can get more between them or where you don't have to mow. Yeah.
Right.
Mulch around them where you don't have to mow them.
And if evergreens are a better choice, and we budget this over several years.
There's a thing we can do if you plant so many trees a year, you get a city.
Right, beautiful township designation. Yeah.
But I think it's like 150 trees.
Oh, I'm on it. Let's go.
We gotta figure out where to plant 100 trees.
We can do it.
Well, and the other issue that we got the email out was about the tree concern about your lack of precisionness and trimming the street trees. The guy was asking to state the statute that gives us the right to do that. And,
it was an email that came from Timber Valley.
Yeah.
So we've never been in Timber Valley.
I know
before.
we get one or two emails like this every year. Last year it was Crimson Hollow, I thought, and the year before it was some other neighborhood that thought we were too aggressive.
So Bill, we don't trim trees to be pretty. We trim trees for a purpose. The purpose of that being is to open up the right of way so
yeah, you can take one or pass
the Postal Service can get through. Ambulances can get through, fire trucks
related
can get through.
To this conversation.
Yep.
And we can get through without taking our mirrors off. So for instance, if we're plowing and we're pushing back and our mirrors, it's $1,000 a mirror. Now we're in trees, and we've never trimmed trees in this neighborhood because it's relatively young. So the trees are relatively small. This is the first year they've been touched. If we just trim small things back and just make it just very little, we're gonna be back every year. So the plan is to get, and that's what it's always been, is to take off so you're not back for two more years. Estuary was one people complained about. Now everyone loves the trees in Estuary because how much we took back.
It looks like a boulevard, yeah.
But if you don't get them up, they're just going to go out, and then they're in the street. So we got to get them to go up so that canopy eventually happens. But people have to have chance, and that's where we're at with it. So I would not say that we're butchers or aggressive. We are kind of what the standard should be. And we followed suit with what has been done forever. Nothing has really changed.
But the primary concern has always been the street, so that limbs don't go into the street or
the sidewalk.
But at the same time, we try to make the tree look
balanced.
So
right.
Yeah, we don't leave with a toothpick when we're done.
Right.
But a lot of these trees, if you don't trim them and get the lower branches off, you're going to kill it anyhow. Right. I mean, if you look at the Bradford pears, that's what's happened. They were never managed at a low level, so.
Oh. Somebody send you a picture?
No. So I think the pickleball issue and this issue are similar to me in the fact that a resident has a concern with some very valid points to it. Like, do we have any horticulture training? Are we informing the residents ahead of time about what's going on? Right, that would be an added level of work for you to have to put something in their boxes. Tree trimming is going to occur this year.
Or something like the leaf on the app, just saying, hey, we're going to be in this neighborhood.
We're going to tree trimming, so we have some. And maybe it wouldn't hurt to have somebody take a tree class somewhere. And
we have done that in the past.
I say they have in the past,
staff
yeah, our
has
our staff
over.
So right, so it wouldn't hurt to have exactly. some training go on. Exactly. So I understand we have to follow the Ohio Revised Code, which has been handed out to us. I understand we're looking not to come back every year. We also had a lot of success when you did Waterside with an outside service that was ridiculously expensive. Mm-hmm. How does Waterside look now? Did they trim it enough?
Yeah, I think it looks good. It's easy to go back Monday morning quarterback and say, I would have taken more, I would have taken less. That's super simple, dude, and I won't do that. I think Steve's Tree Service, when they came in there, they did a really good job, and they got us past kind of the curve that we needed to be so we can move forward without subcontracting things out. The crews that we have now, I'll give you for instance, Todd said, this is the best crews ever worked with in the country in trees because as efficient they are and as fast as they're moving through subdivisions. And that's, I would say it's pretty strong coming from Todd. Anyhow, our whole purpose in trimming trees isn't to make them look pretty, and I think that's where the confusion happens. So on a tree, you have things.
Right, I get you don't
so
want to look
pretty. So maybe it's a communication
pretty.
Issue that we need to communicate. A, the homeowners can trim themselves, or when we come by, we're going to trim them to meet so they don't interfere with safety or service equipment.
But you also don't want to think your tree is going to be killed because of the what do they say, butchering in that place, right? So mm-hmm. maybe we can also work on how you describe what you're doing, right? Not to be pretty. You're doing a healthy trimming of the tree that makes sure we don't interfere with the street or the sidewalk any longer.
Have you been through Timber Valley at all? Just, this is a good example because half the neighborhood's done, half the neighborhood's not.
Okay,
so if
I'll
you
make
get,
sure we go through.
And I'll stay out of there so you guys can actually see the difference of what's done and what's not, and you'll go, oh, well, that makes sense. That's going to be the best picture for you to actually just drive down there and go look at. If you go on to the right, that's done. You're going straight, it hasn't been touched. And then think about a plow truck sitting in the curb.
Right.
So then that will start painting a picture of what we're doing. And the stuff that they're taking off is all under Ohio. Who's the lady that comes in?
Amy Stone.
Yeah, so they have
Ohio State Extension, yeah.
They have a flyer of how to trim trees. I printed it off. It's on my phone. I can show you what to take, what not to take. Kind of what are these? They call them suckers. I call them this, like whatever. So all the guys have that. It's in their break room, so they can look at it every day if they want to. But there's a reason. It's not like we're just arbitrarily picking a branch all day. It's not that. I got an email about a lady that did that same deal.
And if this was a tree in your yard and Steve was doing it, they might trim it differently because sure. You were going for a different outcome. But this outcome is required so our snow plows can go through. So that's definitely just a communication issue, yeah. Chuck.
Yeah, and maybe we do through the monitor. I mean, we trim them this time of year because the trees are generally dormant. We can see, there's no leaf, that they're not leafed out, so we can see,
And next year, they'll look totally 100% fine.
Absolutely.
They'll be looking a whole lot better than they are now.
So I would say maybe Harold or Doug, we'll get together, craft an email, gentlemen at Timber Valley.
Yep.
But then in the next issue of the Monitor, just saying, hey, this is why, and it's, our folks, or some of the newer ones don't, but, some of our ones have had training in the past, I know that. It's for, A, we're required by law to do it. B, we do it for, plows, fire engines, garbage trucks, service equipment. And we try to match the central shape by the cycle law.
So we're gonna have a conversation down the road with Tony Cruz. It's all new, right? Anything that's new, we are not going to touch for probably 5 to 6 years, if not longer, depending on what size of tree they plant. So then all of a sudden we come in and like, well, I've been paying so-and-so to trim my tree. They're pruning a tree. We're not pruning a tree. There's a difference, right? So this is going to be, as these neighborhoods, we start getting into places, because a lot of these neighborhoods that we've added to the tree trimming list were never there, this being one of them. So it's going to be education to a lot of the residents of.
Right, and we should probably name them. This is like a Canvas project, to tell you, because it's more difficult than you think it is. Street tree. There is fact that we have control of the street tree. There is, so she could put some pieces together for us to use our app and use the monitor and put something on the website and give these people advance notice. I don't want you to destroy my tree either. I feel very sorry for them. I don't want to be up at 10 p.m. listening to pickleball. I feel very sorry for people that have to do that. So, sorry.
No. It's a park.
I know. I just think PM's too late.
Yeah. In the summertime, it's late till 9:30.
Right. I'll give you 9:30.
Yeah. So what they were suggesting, though, is it worthwhile? You were at Savannah. Is it worthwhile trying to put some sort of, at church we have like sound absorbers so things don't echo. So in your opinion, over in Savannah, do you actually think those, the paddings on the fencing alleviates
that? Sure it does. I'm absolutely sure it does. But their pickleball courts laid out a lot different.
Okay.
It's on the south side. South side.
Facing the subdivisions. We're really not that way. So if I put,
sound barrier here. Right. It might help Mrs. Wire.
That's probably the only person that's going to help.
Right. And the complaint was also in the parking lot afterwards. And, having people in a parking lot till 11 o'clock that you live near would be annoying.
Well, that's an enforcement issue that we can ask the sheriff to address.
Yep, we can. Then can we go on to the third issue that's a dog issue?
Sure.
Which is the mailbox policy.
A dog issue.
Yeah.
So what are we doing with time? Are we leaving or are we changing?
We got to talk out there. We're not making a decision in here.
Okay.
We'll talk about, I think the already is a good solution. If you want to bring us a quote for that. To me, we asked the sheriff while he's here, just say, hey, park currently closes at 10, you know, let's put a note, sticky note on their dash, 10 o'clock, people out of here.
I was thinking the other thing we could do is maybe survey. Doug told us this park was 8 to 8. The Metro Park's open. What are other parks open? And Gavin's told me the park's been open till 10 o'clock forever and always.
Yeah,
so.
As long as I've worked here. Yeah. Now, I don't know if it would make a difference, but, you know, the Bookers sent us a picture of the, I believe, or did you take that picture of the sign? Sylvania. Basically, yeah. It said that it closes at whatever time, and anybody that stays beyond that is trespassing. So I don't know if that would scare people or not.
Right, and again, it's in a neighborhood.
I mean, there's bike. People do bike. I've seen them on the bike pass at dark too. I mean, joggers and bikers too.
It's a park.
It's a yeah.
Right. It's an interesting little dilemma. Yes, so the other issue is I learned a lot about the mailbox policy based on a resident complaint that the snowplow took down his mailbox and he did not like the replacement. I don't know how closely you all followed the email chain, but there are two types of mailbox breaking. There's if the blade of the snowplow hits it, we will replace your mailbox just like it's new. The other is if the weight of the snow causes your mailbox to fall, that means your mailbox was old and crappy.
Or the snow was very heavy, which it was a couple weeks ago, made that slush.
So,
which is most of the cases from my experience here over the years.
Yeah, when we hit a mailbox, there's not much left.
Yes. So when the blade hits it, it's clear that it's a blade problem and we replace it.
The mailbox disintegrates.
The other issue is the snow hits it and the mailbox is either old or crappy and falls down, or the snow is so heavy a brand new mailbox falls down.
It just breaks over the stake, yeah.
So this guy didn't get the repair he wanted because the plow didn't hit it. The snow was heavy and been broken. And I wrote back to him and said, these are the two types, so yours must be old, and therefore it fell. And he responded to me nicely. But I think Doug would like some clarification or some conversation about that policy. I wasn't going to change the policy. And I asked how many of this happens a year. We're talking about three, but we're coming into a tough time, right? When he says these subdivisions have trees, Timber Valley, you know, the trees are big, and the mailboxes are getting old. And if you're weed whacker's bad. Thank you. You can tell my description. The guy's hitting it all the time. Then, you know, it gets worse.
Looks like you get beavers in the neighborhood.
You know, we don't want to fix 10 of these a year. I just. You know,
wasn't this a very expensive mailbox?
It's just the subdivision mailbox, right? Those houses are just expensive.
Yeah.
Right,
that's what I mean. $185. For $285. $285 a curved lumber, one piece, all cedar, with the post, $285.
And it's repaired in all our subdivisions.
Probably more now.
So we took one out and we built one, and it was just shy of $300.
Yeah. Like I said, they're $285 at Carter. That
so if we said any mailbox that gets knocked down in Monclova, we have a stockpile of them. It's $300, right, that we knock down in our subdivisions. And we knock down at least 10 of them a year because now they're getting all faulty. That's a $3,000 line item in our budget, plus the work of the maintenance department to go do it. So the question is does the policy work? I think if you talk to staff, the policy works. If you talk to this resident, maybe it was just how, you know, this resident.
Well, if they're on a county or on 28, there's nothing that happens.
I always got my mailbox repaired by the county. They took it down all the time on Allen Road.
Oh, did they?
It's just not expensive. It's a green pole and a
metal box?
Yeah, it's like.
So, was the mailbox really bad, Doc? I mean, I don't even know.
No. Mailbox wasn't bad. The post, it fell over at the post from snow. So how it gets fixed in that instance is 2x3x4, you set it back in place, you screw 2x4 top and bottom. And you put the 2x4 in top and bottom, and then we're done.
Now, if do you think I explained it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if, and I think you were accurate. And then if, like she said, if we destroy it, it's like, oh, we'll be back. We'll put a mailbox up.
Right.
Now, regardless of how that mailbox goes down, we come out with a temporary mailbox. Whether we hit it, snow knocks it over, if we're driving by and see it from an independent plow driver, a car wreck, whatever, we make sure to come out with a 5-gallon bucket, a galvanized post, and a mailbox, and we set that in place so they're at least getting their mail. So there's limited, and it, usually we do it before we're going home, depending on the day, right? So there, if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and we're going home, we're going to come back at 6, we'll put it up, because no mail's coming at 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's a fine line.
Well, in my opinion, I think the current policy is fine, but then we still have to handle them on a case-by-case basis. I mean, we can't, if the weight of the snow damages mailbox through no fault of our own, I mean, at what point do we start?
Would giving the resident the option, knowing the cost that's involved, either or how it goes down, if the resident were given a compensation at their option that we could take X amount and then we're going to go hire our own guy to get a fancy stone.
That is in the policy right now, Dawn. $125 can be given to, because Harold attached the policy to the homeowner. But again, that only $125 only applies if we destroy the mailbox. So we would have to change the policy to say if the mailbox goes down, which isn't a bad change to the policy. I don't dislike this idea. Like, here's your check for $125, and we don't even do the temporary anymore. You just have checks, I guess, in your go pocket.
So, 2024, we had 13 mailboxes get knocked down by snow in one subdivision. So, we had a lot of ice this year. We didn't have a lot of snow, and we haven't had a lot of snow. But keep that in mind as these neighborhoods get
older. And can you tell when they, can you see that the post is narrow at the end? It's a full-on post.
So, if they're rotted, like a lot of times I'll take my knife and stick it in the wood to see if my knife goes through it, then I know it's rotted. If there's a knot in that 4x4 post, that's a weak spot in the wood, but you can't tell anybody that when they're mad.
Right.
Like, hey, your knot's here, that's why it broke. It didn't break. I'm not going to down that.
How many mailboxes did you say?
13.
13 in one snowstorm.
And so what happened then?
It was wet snow. It was my first day. That's why I'll never forget it. It was the heaviest wet snow I've seen in forever.
I know which one you're talking about.
The snow coming off, and it was coming off snowman, coming off the blades, and it's just tuk-um, tuk-um, tuk-um. Everybody had that problem. So we put in 13 mailboxes in one neighborhood.
There's two things that happen. A lot of the times the mailbox has a horizontal board on it that the box sits on.
Mm-hmm.
And where that board matches up with the post, they notch the post, makes a weak spot. And for whatever reason, they always notch it on the side that you would be coming from. It'll break there, or it breaks down at the ground, one of the other.
I think it's one of them unfortunate events. And
yeah.
Maybe it's designed to break away.
They are supposed to be breakaways. So what? Well. So we had an incident this year where someone was going around a cul-de-sac, knew they were getting close, hit the brakes, but they're doing like a U-turn, kind of like by your cul-de-sac, you're right, it's really tight, so you're creeping. Well, you hit the brakes because you know you're too close, and it just takes a little bit, and it just touched this thing, and it came over. Same deal, it was at the top bracket, but I was talking to him, I said, hey, we'll do whatever we need to do to get right, we hit it, we'll fix it. It's a super nice guy, and I said, just don't concrete it in. He goes, well, I concrete them in, and I'm like, they're supposed to be breakaway, you're not supposed to, and that's what happens, a lot of people concrete these posts, and they'll put in car springs, especially when you got not so much bar problem, but yeah. Salisbury Extension. There's some mailboxes out there that aren't breakaway. And you got steel pipe this big in the ground.
So it's in correspondence. If you want to change a policy, we can change a policy, but this discussion, I think.
Well, why don't Harold and Doug examine the policy and see if you think it's any updating, you know, get together with Dawn. If we want the $100 amount, whatever, it's $125, look at that. Bring us, if you think the policy needs updating, confer with Dawn and then bring it to us. Is that fair? Harold, I know you were out a couple of days last week, Harold. How many, just going back to the trees for a second, big neighborhoods, do we want to get any other additional alerts out via that app coming through neighborhoods to trim trees, or are you wrapped up?
We're about done for the season. I want to get through Cross Creek because it's pretty bad. We get parks open, but we'll probably get through Cross Creek in a couple of months. I gave stuff to Kathleen to post. I'm looking for it. But I would like you guys to go through, like I said, Timber Valley so you can see firsthand. Like, pictures are one thing, but.
If Chuck lets me out, I'll do it on the way home.
But yeah, we can get something posted for what's coming next.
Yeah. Harold, I did want to ask your email last week about the. Joint Fire District conversation that was had at the Township Association meeting on Thursday night. It just sounds like there's some miscommunication.
Ah, okay.
So the conversation that was had during the Township Association is, hey, here's an option for us. I mean, we're all having challenges hiring, maintaining people, or we're just stealing from each other. Joint Fire Districts are illegal in the state of Ohio. If we were to have a conversation about it, and I can't think of the chief's name from Springfield.
Deer.
Is willing to coordinate a blue ribbon panel, committee, of anybody who's interested in having a conversation. And just saying, hey, you know, before we go to a feasibility study, is this even something that people want? So there's nothing been recommended, suggested. It's like, hey, we're having a conversation because we're all facing the same challenges. So I thought it was a little hypocritical, just like, hey, how could morale, we just had this conversation on Thursday night and morale's bad Friday morning. So there's obviously some miscommunication or rumors or whatever floating around from wherever, and
yes,
you know, anybody on that side of the house can talk to any of the three of us, but I wanted, you know, Chief Junker was there a good chunk of the meeting on Thursday night until he got called away, so I don't know. I don't remember what point he left.
He missed the entire conversation, which was part of the issue, right?
I think Barbara had a discussion with Chief Junker after the fact as well.
I'm sure that cleared everything up.
Yeah.
People listening, I'm rolling.
It made a big difference.
Okay, good.
It truly did. Really did.
So, you know, and I guess that's the message that I would share with you share with Matt and Tom.
Yep.
You know,
but in that
trust but verify.
Right. But in that meeting also, there was different opinions with different townships also.
Yeah. Well,
I'm saying? Yeah, so it wasn't like everybody's rah, let's go.
No, it wasn't like
there was
that.
A lot of townships that didn't really want. So you know what I'm saying? It's just.
I think some of the townships would have fought against the low government fund, Trudy. Like townships just want to be contrary.
Yeah. Or just like some townships just show up, yeah. So then just...
You hit the nail on the head. There were a lot of rumors from outside Monclova that were causing angst.
But some of them weren't rumors.
Well, just because they're true doesn't make them rumors, though, right? What was that?
No,
was that
not,
gossip?
We're not doing a feasibility.
No,
that the rumor that a feasibility study. We're having a conversation that if we want to move forward with a feasibility study, we're doing a feasibility. We're having a conversation.
No, I think other townships have been talk about how they have the resources to manage more. So. You know, that just, and they might, but maybe we're one of those townships that can
manage
Thursday
night
more.
Was a first step.
Yeah.
So. All right.
Have an executive session. Anything going on?
We do to discuss the economic development issue. Should not very long.
Oh, I have a March 31st problem, people. Can we meet at 9 a.m. on March 31st?
Monday.
8:00
would be good. It would be right on my way going to work.
Like before work, I was thinking might be helpful to people.
We're not doing it at 6:30.
No, no. I mean, I will do it at 6:30. It's the only time you guys say I can do it. Oh. But I have to leave.
Does Dawn need to be there too then? If she needs to look at her schedule?
Well, being that if we're setting the public hearing for that, I mean, we should try to make it as accessible to the public as possible.
So does 8 work? 9 is probably as late as I can do it. It's going to take about a half an hour.
I wouldn't think it would take more than that.
Yeah, so 9 o'clock.
Does that work for you guys? Sorry, Trudy.
15, that's just me.
8?
I'm fine. No, if you want to do it, do not.
Yeah.
Nine on the 31st. Okay.
Okay. No, I thought executive session at the end, just to kind of recap, making sure where we're all at. We do have the call tomorrow at 2 for the Zoom meeting here with the site selectors or tire pickers or whatever, and some folks from the county, and just
okay.
Which I think Gavin and Dawn and I are here, so you don't.
Right.
Yeah.
I am March 31st at 9 a.m.
Okay.
Thank you for making that adjustment.
All right. Harold, anything from the county nurse meeting to follow up on from last week?
Not really. I will be bringing one resolution to our next meeting for the traffic study.
That's good.
There is one other thing that was mentioned to me, that the Waterville Monclova STIT was signed off on, and Jason was supposed to send you the information for the final step. Did you get that?
The roundabout.
The roundabout?
Did not.
Okay.
Yes, everything, all the paperwork is done on that, and I have the permit.
Okay.
But the permit that I received says we do nothing until the county tells us what stone to get and where to get it.
Right.
Jason. So maybe he just needs refreshed on the permit.
And that hasn't happened yet. And
can you touch base with him? Because he thought everything, he's new. So he thought everything was in place. Yep. He didn't realize that they were going to be doing the material. He goes, thank you so much for telling me. And so can you touch base with them? Because they're ready to go. But I'm sure right now, right now, overwhelmed with the new person in that place and that position.
Sure.
Salisbury and Holloway is the same thing. We want control of that one before it gets to be a weedy mess. It's beautiful. Why do we want it to be a mess?
Mm-hmm.
And he said they were ours. It's just about him following through.
The last official communication I had with Salisbury and Holloway was that the landscaping company that put all that in had
signed off
yet, and said, here it is, it's yours.
Right,
yours.
Right. It was in the fall, so
I have to follow up on that as well. But that's why we've done nothing on either of those two for those.
It
reasons.
Looks like somebody hits the rocks. It looked like somebody drove up on. Yeah.
Drove through it.
No, they do all.
Like
the
they
time.
Did. Didn't Salisbury. You Saturday night.
No.
So right in front of the community center, a big pile of stone they're working on the sewer. Somebody just thought, hey, and plowed right into. pile of stone.
How'd they get there? The road's closed.
Well, the sheriff arrested him. He was intoxicated. That's my understanding.
I was going west to Pilesbury today. Came to the roundabout at Holloway. And, you know, you can take this way to turn right and take this way to go around the roundabout. So I was behind a car, and it was going this way, and I went this way, and it decided it wasn't going to turn right, and it turned right, and I missed him by this much.
Those roundabouts.
Blew the horn and got us a little.
Did you?